Now I see red. Hallelujah, I stand in bed. I'm staring at an empty bed. Good morning, Grace Point Church. How are you? Good. Good to see you all here today. We're glad you're here as well. I want to welcome everyone. If this is your first time here, your first time in a while, many of you probably come every week. We're glad about that. We have been talking about Operation Christmas Child for the last several weeks, maybe in the last 6 or maybe even 8 weeks, emphasizing this great ministry that Franklin Graham directs, that literally puts not just gifts and toys into the hands of people around the world, but most importantly, in the process of doing that, puts the message of the good news of Jesus Christ into their hands also. And we've seen videos for the last 6 weeks or so of the children as they've been impacted of the message of Jesus, and they've been saved. They've passed that good news on to their parents, their families. Literally, entire villages have come to know Christ because of this. And it's exciting to know that we have a part to play. Many of you have already brought your boxes back. Many of you have given money toward boxes going overseas for the contents and as well as paying for some of the shipping. So today, we celebrate that. And we're also going to have a time of prayer. The way we do that here at our church, we're going to ask as many of you who want to and feel comfortable to come down front in front of these boxes. And if you're close to the boxes, you can lay your hands on the boxes. If you don't make it down front first, just get behind somebody in front of you. And we're going to pray for these boxes. Those who receive them, we're going to pray for the children, the families who get them now. And even after today, so when all of these go out, God is going to bless in tremendous ways, okay? If you want to, we'd like to invite you to come on down to the boxes now, if you will, so we can have a time of prayer together. Go ahead and stand up and come forward. We'll make plenty of room here. I've asked one of our church members, Miss Lisa Mock, to lead us in this prayer this morning. So, Lisa, pray for us, please.
Okay, let us pray. Loving God, we pray for your blessings of these shoeboxes for the mission of Samaritan Purse, Operation Christmas Child. We pray for the hurting children and their families whose lives will be impacted by these boxes and the contents we've packed with love. We pray especially that through these gifts, the hearts of the children and the families will be open to your love and the message of your grace through Jesus Christ. We pray for the children and families who are suffering in the desperate circumstances of poverty, sickness, and war, that you will meet their physical needs. We pray that these shoeboxes will be useful tools to open doors for the proclamation of the gospel. We pray also for all those who are participating in some way in the mission of Operation Christmas and the process and collecting, processing, transporting, and delivering of the boxes to their destinations. Providing God, we pray that you will open up the way for these shoeboxes to be delivered to the people who need to know of your love for them. Amen.
Wow.
We love you, Kevin.
You can tell. I'm just going to quit saying things like, this is my favorite verse, or this is my favorite song, because a lot of them become one that I have an identity to. But that last song you guys just did mighty to save. I know that first line. Everyone needs compassion. A love that's never failing. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior. Would you agree with that? That means us, we, me, you. And it means the person that we get frustrated at, that we get tired of, that we're ready just to explode toward. They need that same compassion and love and forgiveness. Did you ever get to a point where you were just fed up with somebody? Oh, right, two of you. It's times like that that I have to remember how close I was maybe to making God fed up with me. But God's not like that. So I have to do a step back and realize that not only do they need compassion, I need it as well. Amen? All right. The story is told of a boy who went into a candy store to buy some candy, and he asked for it to be wrapped in 1-pound, 2-pound, and 3-pound packages. Very curious about it, the owner of the candy store asked why, and the boy explained that he had a date with a pretty girl that night. And after the dinner with her parents, he was going to take her out on the front porch, and it was just going to be he and the girl. They were going to sit on the swing and swing a little bit, and he had decided if she allowed him to hold her hand, she would get the 1-pound box of candy. If she allowed him to put his arm around her, he'd give her the 2-pound box. But if she allowed him to kiss her, he was going to give her the 3-pound box. Later that night, when they sat down around the table for dinner, the father asked the boy to pray for the meal. The boy prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He prayed for every missionary, for every church and pastor in town. When he was finally finished, the girl commented that she didn't realize that he was so religious. To which the boy replied, "Well, I didn't realize your dad owned the candy store." We're going to talk about prayer today. Now, if I were to tell you that you were going to have the opportunity to talk with Jesus today, sometime this afternoon, early evening, and you could make one request of Jesus, I wonder what your request would be. If you could ask him for anything, what would you ask him for? Protection? A new job? Some extra money? Maybe healing? Maybe you're ready to get into a relationship and you'd ask him for the right person? The disciples had that opportunity. Luke 11 tells us that they came to Jesus one day and they had a request of Jesus. And their request was this: Lord, teach us to pray. Of all things that they could have asked Jesus, they asked to know how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, why did they ask that question? I think it was because they saw the results of prayer in Jesus' life. They saw him pray, and then they saw what happened as a result of that prayer. It's interesting that the disciples watched Jesus preach the greatest sermons that had ever been preached up until then. They watched him do miracles. They watched him heal the sick, raise the dead, but never once did they ask, "Lord, teach us to pray," or preach. Not once did they say, "Lord, teach us to do miracles." Not once did they say, "Lord, teach us to raise the dead." Instead, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. They saw that prayer was the life support of Jesus and of his ministry. They recognized prayer was the key to Jesus' life. Folks, there's nothing more vital to your Christian life than prayer. Now, some people think prayer is a magic wand. We wave it at something and you get what you want. Some people think that prayer is like a first aid kit. For them, prayer is just an act of desperation, like used only in emergencies. When things finally fall apart, then you pray. For some people, prayer is like a tug of war, a religious con game that you play with God, where you try to convince God to do something for you, back and forth, back and forth. The worst idea, worst misconception about prayer is that prayer is simply a religious duty. And that the basic motivation behind it is guilt. I know I should pray more. I ought to pray. And it becomes a duty of your Christian life. So you have this sense of obligation that if I don't pray, you'll be on God's bad list. And as a result, you go through a meaningless ritual that becomes a rut in your Christian walk. It becomes totally insignificant. But you feel like you still have to do it anyhow. And you think of prayer, you think of one word, boring. It becomes something you endure rather than something you enjoy. Now, folks, if prayer is a duty for you, you have missed the point of prayer. It's no wonder you can't get motivated if you're going around saying, I should pray, I must pray, I have to pray, I ought to pray. So this morning, I want us to take a fresh look at prayer. I'm in this series called Radical Living. Remember, the word radical means rooted. How do we live rooted in God? This is part 6, and we're going to be talking about prayer that can change your life. You should have your outlines in your bulletin. Take them out. Be ready to take some notes this morning. In this series of Radical Living, we're actually going to spend 4 messages on prayer. So you're getting a mini-series within a larger series. So first, I want to dispel a myth about prayer. The myth is this: I don't know how to pray. That's a myth. Let me ask you a question. Did you speak to anybody this morning? Friend, husband, wife, somebody in the car on your way here, did you speak to anybody this morning? Did you speak to anybody yesterday? Listen to me. If you spoke to anybody today, yesterday, day before, if you spoke to them, it also means they spoke to you. You listen. If you had a conversation with anyone, informational, maybe you praised somebody, it was an encouraging talk, a burdensome talk, maybe you were angry, any type of talk at all. If you spoke, guess what? You can pray. You can pray. Because prayer is talking and listening to God. There is no magic anything about praying. There's no special words. There's no special phrases. You just talk to God. And that's when people tell me I don't know how to pray, I'm like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You just talk to Him. If you can talk, if you can converse, if you can communicate, you can pray. Here's the myth. I don't know how to pray. Here's the truth. Copy it down. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. In John, the Gospel of John, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 are found Jesus' last words to his disciples. And the last discussion that Jesus had that he shared with his 12 disciples before he was crucified on the cross are found in those chapters. And he tells the people repeatedly, I'm going to die and then I'm going to be resurrected and go back to heaven. I'm not going to be here physically, but I'm going to be here spiritually. And then he said, you can still speak to me. You can still talk to me through prayer. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to have certain clothes on. You don't have to use certain words. You can just talk to him. But I want to share a few things, a few purposes of prayer with you this morning. Number one, first of all, prayer is an act of dedication and dependence. It's an act of dedication and dependence. It's an opportunity to express our dedication, our devotion to God, and our dependence upon God. God, I need you. Did you ever tell somebody that? Maybe a good friend. Maybe your neighbor did something for you. Maybe someone you're married to. Maybe somebody who's your partner at work. Our biggest problem with prayer when we talk with God is we don't necessarily feel a full dependence upon him. We think we can do life ourselves. Ever since Adam and Eve, man has vastly overestimated his ability. So we go around thinking, I don't need to pray because this is something I can do. Man, how's that working out for you? Biggest problem in prayer is admitting that we need God's help. The reason why a lot of people don't pray is because it costs. It costs honesty. You have to be honest with God. I admit, God, I'm inadequate. I'm helpless without you. I need your help in this situation. As long as you think you're self-sufficient, you can handle anything that happens in life. Prayer will have little meaning for you. Prayer is an act of dedication. God, I admit, I need you. I can't figure this out. I don't have the kind of resources necessary to fix this or to go on. I need you in my life. Prayer is our way of saying to God, this proves, God, that I am dependent upon you. Look at John chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Jesus is speaking this to disciples. He's teaching them. Before he's crucified and gone, he's teaching them, you need to remain in me. Speak, talk to me, remain in my words. When we speak words to Jesus and do it in Jesus' name, according to his will, he answers our prayers. It's kind of an unbelievable promise, isn't it? I mean, when I read this, I'm like, really? Look. Whatever you ask, I give it. I'm like, dude, that can't be right. I'm still waiting for my Fuji 10-speed bike I never got when I was a junior in high school. I don't know why I can't forget that, but I can't. Can't get it. But notice how Jesus phrases that. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask. Makes a big difference because if we remain in him, his words remain in us, we are locked in with him, and we pray according to his will and his way. You ever heard of a diving bell? There's a picture of a diving bell. Now, I took the cartoon picture because it explains how it works. Way back in the 1600s, this was a primitive form of a deep sea diving vessel. It could go down 800 feet under the water. Now, you would put it down, have a person in it, you put it over the person, and it would just go down like this, and the air in the container would push away the water, so you have this air in here, but the air would be used up. And that cord that was put into the top of the diving bell, that was its lifeline, because he would be given oxygen all the way down. So he could go all the way down to the bottom, and he'd be fine. But if that cord was severed, it was over. It was done. Likewise, folks, prayer is our support system to God. If we cut prayer off, we will run out of spiritual air. It is our lifeline to God the Father. Prayer is an act of dedication and dependence that we show that we have upon God. Until we realize we need God, we can't pray, we won't pray, and we don't pray. It's better to realize you need God now, because if you don't, he'll be sending some things your way that'll get your attention. It's better to wake up now when it's your choice than when God says, I need to get your attention. Would you agree with that? Number two, prayer is an act of dedication and dependence, and prayer is also an act of communication. It's an act of communication. Now, you know how important it is to communicate. Many of our problems in life are communication problems. Communication with your wife, husband, your business, coworkers, friends, boss, with your parents, with your children. You really can't understand a person unless you communicate with them. You can't understand God, God's will for your life, unless you communicate with him. It's also vital to the Christian life. Prayer is an act of dedication, communication. You can't communicate with somebody unless you have an ongoing relationship to them and with them. So what is our relationship with God? Look at it in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Look what Jesus says. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Would you underline that? Jesus called you his friend. I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known unto you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. He says the reason you can ask anything in prayer is because we're friends. Folks, that's amazing. God says, I don't treat you like your servants, like your slaves. I treat you as friends. Folks, we seldom pray because we fail to recognize that God counts us as friends. We think he's way up there somewhere, out there. He's somewhere, we can't even conceive him. We certainly can't relate to him. The Bible says he's our friend. He wants to relate to us personally. He wants to spend time with us just like an earthly friend would do. Can you imagine God just coming down beside you one day and saying, hey, let's go get something to eat. You like Starbucks? I would love for God to say that and then say, it's on me. It's on him. I picture Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. And the Bible gives us this beautiful picture, this lush garden, this beautifully perfect place, perfect environment. Adam and Eve, they love one another. They're frolicking through the garden. They're just enjoying all these blessings. And the Bible said God walked with them. He was right there. Now, we can't conceive of that, but just imagine. God was right there. He was their friend. And God wants to be your friend. Where would you go with God? Where would you suggest? He wants to be our friend. Sometimes we just have a hard time conceiving of that, imagining that. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would just as soon sit down next to you and talk, walk with you, go with you throughout your day. We just have a hard time believing that God is really that interested in us. We can't conceive that the creator of the universe is interested in our car payments and our house payments, in buying the new clothes for the kids for school, and that guy at work who irritates us, and the fact that you have back problems and you're having relational issues. God's really concerned about that. Yeah, he is. And just like if you have a really good best friend that would sit down and listen, he will as well. Folks, when you really discover how much God loves you and cares for you, prayer will no longer be a problem for you. The problem wouldn't be, I have to pray. The problem is, let me make more time. Do I have more time in my schedule so I can talk to him more? The problem isn't you don't really realize how much God really cares and loves you, because if you really knew that, you'd spend time with him, because we love to talk to people who loves us most. When we realize God loves us most, we'll talk to him. Prayer is an act of dedication. It's the way we express our dependence on God. It's an act of communication. It's the way we talk with God. And number three, prayer is an act of supplication. Supplication means requests. Supplication is a request. In Philippians 4, 6, Paul said this, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, with your prayers and your supplications, your requests, make those requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The result of our talking to God, of letting him know about our request, will be peace of mind. The fact of the matter is, prayer is God's chosen method of meeting our needs. The Bible teaches that there are some things that God has promised to do only if we pray. There are some things that God will promise to do if we pray. And some people think, God knows what I need to do. Why do I need to ask it? God knows what my needs are. How come I have to ask him about it? Why didn't he just give it to me? He knows. Well, he does know. But there are some things God has set up in your life and in my life that God will not give us until we ask. Some of us here are parents, right? I knew what my kids' needs were. If you're a parent, you knew that. And most of the time, I met their needs. But sometimes, even though I know they needed it, I wanted them to come to me and ask. It shows humility. It shows they're getting more mature, that they figured it out. Here's what I need. And I really don't have the means to get it. Let me go to one who can get it for me, and I'll humbly. And that's what God does with us sometimes. You bet he knows what we need. But sometimes he's just saying, come ask. Come ask. God's blessings and power for living and power to bring about healing and change are directly tied to prayer. They're directly tied to asking God. Did you ever hear the saying, it doesn't matter what you know, it's who you know that matters? Well, we know the one. It's kind of true when it comes to power and victory in our lives and living. You can know every book in the Bible by name. You can quote verses. You can be the best Bible story teacher in the Southeast. You can attend conferences and spiritual retreats 6 times a year. And while all of this is good, if you're not consistently talking with God, pouring out your heart to Him in prayer on a daily, consistent basis, you and your life and your ministry will be powerless. You've got to spend that time with God in prayer. So it's time to get with it. Let's get tied into the power that can make a difference by praying. Praying puts us in touch with the one who can change us and who can change others, who can change the situation. So it's an act of dedication and dependence. It's an act of communication. It's an act of supplication or request. Make your request known to your Heavenly Father. Tell Him. Yes, He knows. Still tell Him. Still ask for it. And number 4, prayer is an act of cooperation. It's an act of cooperation. And this is the most exciting thing about prayer, this act of cooperation. God has sovereignly chosen in His plan that we can cooperate in His plan by praying and helping to see His will done here on earth. Prayer is God's program. Prayer is God saying, I have a chosen limit myself, what I will accomplish on earth simply by limiting myself to the faith of my children who are on earth. What they believe me for and ask me for, I will do. When we pray, we're cooperating with God and with His will for our life. We are teaming up with God to accomplish His work in the world. Do you ever, when you're going through school, and this is the place I know it most, and sometimes just on a regular ball field, if you played baseball, when I was growing up, it was the Optimist League. Now they have other leagues here. When you were growing up, especially in school, we even played on the fields in elementary school before school opened. We couldn't wait to get there. We had recess before we had recess. But what happened was this. They had all the kids here, and we knew who was going to be picked first, right? I was usually picked. I was. Midway down, but not. But you picked the people who were the best, right? And when David Weaver said, Kevin, I want you to be on my team, I said, yes, because David was good. And that's what happens. And God says, if you're a child of mine, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you're on my team. Wouldn't it be great for God to pick you to be on His team? Guess what? He has. You're on His team. You can't lose. He's put you on His team to carry out His work. And God wants us to cooperate with Him to do the work that He wants us to do, that He wants done in this world. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or believe because of the miracles I have done. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask for me anything in my name, I will do it. Folks, these are probably some of the most amazing verses in the Bible. And again, some verses in here, I'm going, really, this, it just blows my mind. Mainly because I have a really hard time seeing myself do something more impressive than what Jesus did. And that's what He said. Did I misread it? Are you with me? He said it. I'm like, dude, what have I ever done? That's just a little bit, not even equal, but more impressive, more powerful than what Jesus did. But he says, anyone who believes in me will do what I've been doing and even greater. He said it, not me. How is it possible to do greater miracles than Jesus? He tells us it's through prayer. Well, how does that work? When we pray, it can do greater things than Jesus Christ did while he was here on this earth. How? Before you start stoning me and thinking I'm a heretic. How? Prayer, folks. Prayer is not limited by time nor space. Prayer is limitless in its scope. When Jesus was here on this earth, he voluntarily limited himself by becoming a human being. By God coming in human form, Jesus said, I can only be at one place at one time, and I cannot be present in the past or the future. I'm only here at this place, at this time, right now. He was limited to do the miracles within the vicinity where he was at any given time. But prayer is not limited by time or space. The prayers that Jesus gave over 2,000 years ago are still being answered today. The prayers I pray today and you pray today can be answered 3 weeks from today in different parts of the world. We just prayed over these things right here. Did you believe what we prayed? And our prayers were said weeks before and today. And guess what? They're going to be answered in parts of the world I've never even seen, never even heard of. Prayer is absolutely incredible. We can do stuff here through prayer that Jesus limited himself on that he couldn't do while he was here before he was resurrected. You can pray, and it's like sending a missile. I could pray for somebody in Adams, Minnesota, or West River, Wyoming, and it's like sending a direct missile their way to a person's heart. I've never seen it even leave South Carolina. But I prayed over it. I know it's going to happen. Jesus didn't do that before his resurrection. That's why he said, you can do stuff more than I've ever done. Its prayer is limitless in its power. People may reject your appeals. They may reject your arguments. They may reject you as a person, but they are defenseless against your prayer. Prayer releases God's power and spirit and goes straight to the hearts of those for whom you are praying. Jesus says, your part is the asking, my part is the doing. And that's great because Jesus is in a lot better position than you are in and that I am in. He has a few more strings he can pull, a few more resources at his command than we do. Our part in cooperating with God's plan in this world is prayer. Don't ever, ever. Well, let me back up. Have you ever said, I'll pray for you, it's the least I can do? Have you ever said that? Don't ever say it again. Don't ever say prayer is the least I can, it's the least I can do. It's the most you can do. Don't you ever, ever. If you think it in your mind, fine, don't ever speak it. Because it's a lie. Prayer is not the least you can do. It's the most you can do. The most important thing you can do in your life is to pray. Is that on your outline? Oh, there it is. In case you didn't get it, let me say it again. The most important thing you can do in your life is to pray. Now, for those of you, just one more time. The most important thing you can do in your life is what?
Pray.
Well, you know what? I made a mistake. On your outlines, you got your pens ready? Do something. The most important part, in the most important thing that I, scratch out the word you and put I can do, most important thing I can do in my life is pray. That's the second mistake I made in 2024. Actually, it wasn't a mistake. I did it because now I got your attention in saying it, right? No, I did make a mistake, but just thought that would bail myself out. The most important thing I can do is that I can pray. Prayer and the Word of God are the only resources we have to fight spiritual battles that Satan carries out against us and everyone else 24/7, 365. D.L. Moody, one of the great pastors, times gone by, said this: every great movement of God can be traced to a single praying, kneeling person. Hear me well, Grace Point Church. We may never become a large church. We may never become a mega church. But we must become a praying church. When we pray, we will break down strongholds so God is carried out here, His work, His ministry is carried out here and around the world because of what we do through our prayers. It will happen when we first and foremost become and remain a people who pray, who talk to God, and who listen to God. Someone put it this way: prayer moves the hand that moves the world. How about it, Grace Point Church? You want to become radical? Do you want to be grounded in God, in Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit? Do you really want to make a difference in the world, in the lives of other people, in your family, at your workplace, where you go to school? You want to make a difference in your own life? Then start by having some conversations with God. And you know what that the Bible calls conversations with God, right? You better get this one right. I'm going to feel really disappointed. I'm going to cry. It's called Let's pray. God, we want to live a life grounded in You and Your Word. And one of the things we do to accomplish that is to make sure we take time to talk to You. So God, I pray that You'll start changing our understanding of prayer. Some of the things that we have practiced and believed may not have been necessarily healthy spiritually. Maybe we got off course. Maybe we were taught something that really wasn't true. But starting with this message and the next three to come, You can kind of get us focused again on ways that we can pray, in ways that we can talk to You that make it exciting and vibrant and honest and real. Because You call us. Because You call us Your friend. Jesus, we want to thank You. All that You gave up to come down to this earth. Because of what You did for us on the cross. That has allowed us to be called friends of God. Holy Spirit, thank You that You stayed behind and teach us. Empower us. Walk with us, protect us. God, like the disciples, asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Make each of us praying people, God, people who talk to you, not out of duty, but out of gratitude. Individually as believers and as a church. Now, Father, as we turn to this time to respond to you, I trust that you have been speaking to us to encourage us, to convict us, to let us know in areas that we can change a little, and also to be blessed to know that some of the stuff we're doing right and we're doing good. So bless us during our response time. We love you, God. We just want to thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Folks, know you had a good sermon in here about prayer. We had a good time of praying in the youth and children's area as well. I know that God is hearing those prayers. Continue to pray for these boxes. They're going all across the world. And we talked about the cooperation. You've done this part. God's doing a part somewhere in the world where these young people are, these children. We are cooperating with God to see what happens in these lives. We won't know until we get to heaven. But pray for those boxes that go out. All right?
Go ahead and be seated if you will. I tried to get on there in that last verse there, buddy. As you know, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and we want to take just a moment to honor veterans. And one of the ways we're going to do it real quickly is to show a video, and then we're going to recognize some of our veterans here and have a prayer, okay? That's some good stuff, isn't it? So I want to do this real quickly. Do we have anyone? Dick, come on in here for a minute, buddy. Do we have anyone who has ever served in any branch of the five military branches in here today? Any veterans who've served? Can you please stand just real quickly? Dick is standing, one over here, back here. Will you give these, okay, anyone else? Give them a big hand. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you so very much. God bless you. We are very, very grateful. Let's pray for those who have served our nation, okay? God, we thank you that we live in a free nation, and we thank you for people like we've just seen here and the many others who have served our nation to keep us free, for the sacrifice they have made, the sacrifices that their family has made when they were out in other nations, other parts of the world, serving and giving their time, their energy, their knowledge, their expertise, and their family had to be away from them. Thank you. May you continue to bless them and the many other veterans across our nation now and tomorrow as we celebrate them. Keep them in your care. Bless us as we now go from this service. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.